All right, hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into Frank Herbert's world of Dune, specifically the cinematic adaptation by Denis Villeneuve in 2021. Throwing you for a loop there, John.
Yeah, you definitely did. That was a very different intro, but fuck it. Let's roll.
I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, we're talking about minute 25 and 26 on this fine Monday. And well, it's a Sunday for us, but yeah. This will be released on a Monday.
Monday for you.
Yeah. This minute starts with Moheim finishing her sentence and ends with Paul's hand getting uncomfortable.
Just a teeny tiny little bit.
Now, I was telling John before we recorded, due to an error in my notes, I actually wrote the notes for this one about 2 weeks ago. So I don't quite remember in vivid detail what was going on. So I don't know what her sentence was before she started. I'm hoping you can fill in a little bit of a gap for me.
I hold at your neck.
Ah,
that's yes. Where the minute stopped. And this minute starts with the Gom Jabbar.
The Gom
Jabbar. Not the Gom Jafar. The Gom Jabbar.
Okay. yes, the Gom Jabbar, one of the most iconic weapons in Dune. Do you know a lot about this one? I mean,
no, I feel like it's the Dune version of the noisy cricket, where it's like this tiny little
from Men in Black.
Yeah, this tiny little fucking needle, but it can just ruin everything. Whereas kinda, the noisy cricket is just like this tiny little gun, looks like a toy, but it blows like a massive hole in things. Anyways, right. It's not a gun; it's a needle, a poison needle at that. Beyond that, I don't know too much about it. I mean, I would imagine it's probably like in the standard toolkit of most Bene Gesserit for fun
ways to kill people.
Fun ways to like be covert and kill people.
Sure. Sure.
Because, you know, they say that poison is a woman's weapon. Eh, and,
not here.
All right.
Well, not here. No. I mean, think about the feudalistic nature of the dude or the world that the characters live in. Poison is just a weapon. It's not a woman's weapon. It is just a weapon.
Well, I was gonna say that it would make sense because all the Bene Gesserit women, but you know, you just gotta ruin my fucking fun there. But whatever.
It is one of the most iconic weapons in the Dune books. It's really the first one that we're introduced to. In the books, this Gom Jabbar / hand pain test is within the first couple of pages in the book. So we actually open to this scene in the books. I understand why it's a little bit later in the movie. We had a lot of backstory and character development to chew through for the first 24 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
Obviously it's still here. So we still got it. This little needle, it is absolutely a poison needle. One that just kills you instantly. So there's a lot of different types of poisons in the Dune universe.
A lot of types of poisons in our universe.
Yeah, very true. Very true. There are some that I don't think we're going to get to see in these movies. It's just like a very, very, very low level poison.
Yeah.
It makes you feel bad, but it doesn't like kill you until you stop taking the poison. So it's, So it's like a way, it's a way for someone to another like manipulation and control technique.
So it's like a forced addiction then, because if you don't, then you're dead. That would be horrible for me. I am awful with taking my like medication on time and like, I forget a lot because guess what? ADHD things. So like even with having a AM and PM separated pill calendar for my medication, I still fucking forget shit.
Old man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the oldest 32-year-old you'll ever meet.
So we get to see the needle at Paul's neck. He's obviously taken aback by it. Doesn't move though.
I love the way that GHM, as I call her in my notes, Guy's Helen Moheim, is holding the needle.
Sure, yeah, it's very dainty.
Like
It looks ritualistic, honestly.
Yeah, but also it looks stable as hell because like we get a couple cuts to her and her hand just does not move the entire time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very like it looks like she's stable with it. I feel like if I gave either of us a needle of that size and dimension, both of us would just immediately fuck it up.
I don't know.
Probably accidentally stab one of ourselves or whatever. Oh, there it is.
Well, that just leads me to the question, how good are you with chopsticks? Because the way she's holding it is not unlike, it's something very akin to how you would hold a chopstick.
How do you hold your chopsticks? Because that is not how, what the fuck?
It's a similar hand
shape. No, it's not.
Yeah. Zach. It's in the neighborhood. I'm not gonna back down this one. It's in the neighborhood.
I'm going to grab chopsticks out of your kitchen right now and make you hold a chopstick like that. And tell me that that's normal.
When I write with a pen, I just hold it in my like clenched fist.
Are you one of those people that like has it in your index and your middle finger?
No, it doesn't go between any of my fingers. I'm just
boosh.
I'm like crayoning it, like kindergarten crayoning it. Yeah, so maybe that's why it's throwing me off.
How beast rabbin of you! I feel like that's how he writes. He just takes a dagger and like carves into things, but with letters that are just like straight lines. So like
sure.
A D is just like a vertical straight line with a pointy.
That reminds me of the Trogdor video where
consummate beast,
where Strongsad is carving Dagron into the table.
Strongsad has like the super like detailed.
Oh, that's right. Strong mad
is the one that's just like, ah,
okay, that's
in
right,
the table. Right. Yeah.
What a fun era.
Don't challenge me on Homestar Runner.
What a fun era of the internet.
I miss it.
All right. Anyways, back to this minute. So Moheim goes into her speech about how if an animal is caught in a trap, it will gnaw its own limbs off to survive, and she wants to see what Paul will do in the same situation. So really just giving us all the explanation or some explanation of what is about to happen. Mm-hmm. Or at least the why behind what is about to happen. And then Paul looks down and almost Brad Pitt style goes, what's in the box.
Well, you did miss one thing.
Oh, did I?
And it's a very, very important thing that you missed. After Moheim holds the Gom Jabbar to Paul's neck, she says, the test is simple. Remove your hand from the box and you die. He asks what's in the box. But then we get a hard cut to the MVP, the Glow Globe.
That's later in my notes. I did have Glow Globe sighting.
You need to respect Glow Globes.
All right, sorry.
But yes, we do see another fantastic Glow Globe.
No, man.
Sol agrees.
We cut to Jessica standing guard outside. She is continuing her massive stress out that's been going on for the past like 5 minutes.
She's
five movie minutes.
Not having a good time tonight.
No, not at all. And this is where I have my notes. Glow Globe sighting from outside with Jessica, just keeping her company. Not really keeping her comfort, but definitely doing its job.
There are more spooky sisters off like further down the hallway too. Yeah. And they just like, they kind of stare at her for a second and like walk away.
Yeah.
I feel like Jessica is like, you know how there's that kid in high school that like tries to hang out with like all the skater kids, but doesn't like skate at all.
Yeah.
And is just like,
that was me.
Oh yeah. Okay. I feel like she's that kid to the rest of the Bene Gesserit, where she's like, we'll let you hang out with us, but you're not one of us. Also, even though she definitely is one of them.
Yeah.
But like,
oh man. Yeah.
Clearly she's different than them. So
also me to certain groups in high school. Yes.
Well, both of us were band nerds, so we didn't really have groups outside of that.
I had my sports groups. And my band groups.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of the sports I played were also played by other band kids, so I think that helped.
Oh, okay. A lot of cross-contamination there.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, okay. Smallish high school. Not your small.
But compared
to others, smallish.
I want to make a note real quick. So set design, as always, fantastic. I want to ask whoever designed the door in this scene, though, why the hell is the doorknob the size of a dinner plate? It's so huge.
Is it?
It's so huge. We'll watch. We'll go back again after this, because I need you to see how ridiculous the size of this doorknob is. It's like, it's straight up a dinner plate.
All right.
I just thought that it was like everything is very like pristine and nice. And then you just have this massive fucking
that doorknob. Fits though. I mean, with the overall, like, just sense of scale, everything is grandiose here.
even
the doorknobs are huge.
All right. But what's the size of the doorknob compared to a Highliner?
I think it's like 0.25 Enterprises.
Okay.
I don't know. our minute ends with Paul getting visibly uncomfortable as his hand is in the box.
Yeah, we get that.
A little grimace.
A little bit of the whirring chime sound effect going on, and that's when you see Paul like, oh.
Oh, this ain't nothing.
Yeah. We stop as he is starting to just like grit his teeth and stare down Moheim. And he's just not.
She is not giving anything back.
No.
She's just a stone face, needle wielding.
No room for his bullshit.
Veiled woman. Yes.
Paul, in my notes, I have it. It says, Paul is feeling it, Mr. Krabs.
Okay. All right. All right, cool. Any other notes on this minute?
It's a pretty short minute, yep. as all of these minutes are, well, actually.
I mean, it was 60 seconds, just like the rest of them.
Yep. But no, it's a good minute. We get our mention of the Gom Jabbar. We see the box. Well, we saw the box at the end of last minute, but we have entered the box.
Yes, we have.
And it's only going to get worse from here.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's continue Paul's uncomfortable journey when we talk about minutes 26 through 27 tomorrow. So you want to meet back up and do that?
We'll do it.
All right, cool. We'll see you tomorrow on the Dune Minute Podcast. Oh, do you want to go through socials?
Oh, yeah.
I should probably just like pre-record that.
No, I kind of like that we forget it every now and then. Okay. And then we're just like, oh, shit, we're stupid.
Oh, we exist outside of this living room.
Yeah.
Come talk to us.
Oh, fuck. If you want to reach out to us on what I will continue to always refer to as Twitter, you can add us at Dune Minute. We are also on Instagram.
The Dune Minute.
The Dune Minute. And you can email us if you are old school, duneminute@gmail.com.
Currently, that email address is not being monitored, but we will.
I probably should
put that
on
that.
My phone.
Yeah, we'll do that eventually.
Just be like, oh, hey, like, keep an eye on this. So,
yeah, reach out to us. Tell us your thoughts. If we got something wrong, which is highly likely, let us know.
Incredibly likely, as this minute. Note, the notes for this minute were written at 5 a.m.
All right, so. Cool. All right, cool. Yeah, connect with us if you'd like. We'll be posting updates about the show when new releases happen. You'll also get pictures of Soul up there.
Of course.
Because he's very involved in the background production of this podcast.
I mean, he is the lead producer of this podcast. He oversees every editing session as well.
He's a tough boss, but you know, he runs a tight ship around here. All right, cool. We'll see you tomorrow, guys, on the Dune Minute Podcast.
See you later.